Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Monica Cade podcast. My guest today is Ren McGann. He's a Western Australian photographer specializing in big wave photography. He's always had a fascination for big waves and extreme weather. And his first trip to the right, one of the biggest wave spots in the world, sparked his passion for photography and dramatically changed the direction of his life. He went from being a commercial mariner for 10 years, running all sorts of vessels out of Exmouth in ecotourism, fishing, oil, gas, crayfishing, amongst many other things, to immersing himself in one of Mother Nature's gnarliest, magnificent waves. If you haven't seen his photography, you must. I'm a huge, huge fan of his work, and his photos capture something that I can't quite pinpoint, but it's more than just a photo. So let's find out more and dive into the conversation.
You're listening to the Monica Cade podcast, an interview series featuring conversations that bring out your best. I chat to thought leaders, creative minds, athletes, and entrepreneurs doing what they love while challenging the status quo. The intention for this podcast is to have conversations that bring out your best. You can find the show notes on my website, monicacade.com, and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Monica Cade. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. You'll be helping me achieve my mission to impact 200,000 lives in 2019. For now, let's dive into the show.
Hello, Ren. Thanks for joining me today.
G'day, Monica. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, I'm pretty excited for our chat today. For our listeners, I came across Ren's work on Instagram and I totally fell in love with his wave photos. But before we start talking about your photography, Ren, I thought it would be great to find out more as to how you got into being a commercial mariner. What inspired that step in your life?
It's kind of way back. I left school pretty early and then moved to Rottnest for 2 years. I was just doing kind of mediocre jobs over there, and my brother ended up getting a job on a pearl farm up at the Montebello Islands. Mm-hmm. And I was not really enjoying where I was at, and he called me up and just said, mate, you've got to get up here. And I was just like, no, I've got nothing to lose. So I just jumped on a plane and moved to the Monties.
And how long were you there for?
I did about 5 years at the Montebellos. Did a year on the Pearl Farm and then went back on a charter boat doing commercial fishing in Liverboard ecotourism. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I had a riding client that was, they're a big jeweller in Western Australia. And so when I was working with them, I was learning all about, you know, the pearls and the beautiful stuff that you guys have in Western Australia. Like, it's just amazing over there.
Yeah, Western Australia is pretty diverse in its kind of coastal region. It's got everything from the southern seas all the way up to the kind of temperate waters. And yeah, the Montebellos is a pretty special place. It's really rugged and kind of raw environment, but the pearls that they put out from there were probably some of the best in the world because of the water movement.
Yeah. So prior to this, were you in love with the water before that experience?
Oh, totally, yeah. Grew up on the south coast down in Perth, and my family's always had a block down in Bremer Bay, and just always just loved diving and fishing, and me and my brother would just go out spearfishing and free diving and surfing as often as we could, and it's just kind of been a total love affair my whole life, really.
Mm. And so what would you say was the highlight from that experience and that part of your career?
Up at the Montebellos?
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to kind of pinpoint down because I did so many different jobs up there, 10 years in, based out of Exmouth, and I mean, some of the stuff we saw at the Montebellos was just crazy, like, it's just such a raw environment, and you feel like you're kind of the only people out there. But then in Exmouth, I ran whale shark ecotourism boats for a few years, and you know, seeing a pod of orcas do a hunt on a humpback whale was pretty impressive. Or swimming with whale sharks, or swimming with manta rays or humpbacks, and it's just the oceans are alive up there. It's pretty hard to pin down one thing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Now, on your photography website,
you have an amazing quote, which really captivated me when I made my way over there. And it's, we find ourselves through exploration. And I wanted to know where this came from for you and why you decided to pop it up there.
Yeah, it's kind of been a bit of a journey from me since I left Exmouth, because I had kind of all my eggs in the basket of becoming following that marine career, and unfortunately the industry kind of just started collapsing on itself. So I didn't really have a great future in that. And weirdly, I bought a jet ski while I was up there, and I kind of came down to pick it up from Perth, and a friend of mine just said, why don't you come to Margaret River for a little bit? And I grabbed a ski and went down and pretty much never left. And it just started this kind of massive journey as to where I am now. And it's kind of, I've learned so much about myself from putting myself out of my comfort zone and, you know, just going chasing new experiences. And I feel like that quote really kind of encapsulates where I'm at and all the kind of learning that I've found myself doing these days. It's all attributed to just exploring both myself personally and the environment around me.
Mm. It's really cool, because I think it's so easy to get stuck in our ways, or when something becomes comfortable, it's easy to just continue on that path. And I think unless we kind of step out of ourselves and try something new, sometimes we don't even realize what we're missing, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. It's, you know, I was in the comfort bubble up in Exmouth. It's like, you know, everything that's available to you, and, you know, it's all amazing stuff, and it's so easy to get caught in how good it is. But, you know, since I've been down south, I've started a few different businesses, and, you know, some of them failed, and I've learned so much about what's potential, and, you know, just expanding that mind about the way you approach problems and things. And it's just such a good lesson to learn, and I feel like it's so important for people to really step outside what they're comfortable with doing and just try new things if they've really got nothing to lose by doing it.
Mm. Do you feel that you have a growth mindset?
If you had asked me a few years ago, probably not, but now I think definitely yes. But that's come from just being where I'm at and experiencing the things that I've done. It's, you know, after stepping out of the marine career, I kind of stepped into just, you know, mediocre jobs down here, and it's been a real good learning curve and a great motivator to try and improve my situation, because it's like the creeping inevitability. If you don't change something, nothing's going to change. And I couldn't just see myself just sitting pretty and, you know, working a 9-to-5 job. It just doesn't suit me.
Mm, yeah, I understand. So then tell me, how did this interest or this passion for photography start?
Yeah, it's kind of probably started back at the Monte Bellos, when you're just surrounded by some of the most amazing picturesque places on earth, and the sunsets up there are crazy, and just playing around with stuff like that. And then once I picked up the jet ski, I actually purposefully bought that jet ski because I just had this pipe dream in Exmouth. I was just not happy with where I was at, and I just thought, man, it'd be so cool to buy a jet ski and go to the right. At that point, it was just like this, you know, I couldn't see that happening, but I just thought, you know, if I don't try, then I'm not going to do anything. And then I bought the jet ski, and then it's funny how the universe works. I just had a mate pop round, and he was like, oh, I'm going down the right. Do you want to come? And so I was just straight down there. And as soon as I got down to those waves, it just kind of opened this floodgate of, it's hard to explain what that wave is like to experience. And I just fell in love with trying to capture it, and going home and sitting on the computer and just staring at the images for hours and hours and hours. And yeah, it's pretty incredible.
So when you went out there for the first time, so for our listeners, can you maybe just share a little bit more about the wave? Because I know some people listening are probably familiar with it, and then there might be others that are like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a deep water slab down off the south of Australia, and it kind of only works when the swell's huge, and, you know, they have to use jet skis to tow into it, and it's probably one of the largest and heaviest waves on earth. So it's a pretty decent wave. It's definitely not something to approach lightly, and we're really fortunate that there hasn't been too many really horrific injuries out there yet, but it's kind of a question of when, not if. I have had a a good friend of ours broke his back and spiral fractured his femur on it. And that's one of the most horrendous stories I've ever heard.
I just, even when I watch some of the videos on YouTube, I just think like hitting that water and that water being, so much water being on top of you, I cannot fathom what that would be like, what that experience would be like, you know. It, and I'm sure these guys, like obviously they're not just jumping on a board and paddling out there. They've had experience surfing for some time. But still, I don't think that it it changes the experience. They're probably just a bit more apt with dealing with it.
Yeah, and, you know, it changes so much too, whether it's the swell direction, the swell period, the tide, the wind. So some days you go down there and it's kind of perfect, and then other days it's just so ugly. And a lot of the guys say you kind of don't really know what you're pulling into until you let go of the rope and it's a little bit too late to pull off.
Oh, so shit. Kind of
once they let go, it's kind of there. That's it, they're in.
You got to make a commitment.
Yeah, and it is. And it's crazy some of the impacts I've seen down there. Just like, you're just like, holy crap, did I just watch someone die? And then they just pop up, and it's so much. So the energy is pretty electric down there. It's crazy to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine. So tell me what the experience is like photographing that wave.
Yeah, it can be quite tricky because I've never had water housings for my gear.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the early days, I did lose a few cameras because just punching through waves and the spray and all that kind of stuff. But I've evolved a little bit from then, and I've got a rain shield for my gear now. But a lot of people shoot with another person driving the jet ski, but I generally just go down on my own. So I've got to try and drive and shoot at the same time, which can get a little bit tricky. But it's just a matter of trying to put yourself in the right spot and just take as many photos as you can, you know. It's pretty common that I'll come back with 3,000 photos from sitting in the water for 8 hours. So it's a numbers game, really.
Yeah. Wow. And so, okay, so you're driving it. I'm a little bit ignorant probably to this, even though I know a little bit more than some people. But so how do you navigate? Like, because obviously there's turbulence in the water. It's not just like where you position yourself, but the water's still, right? So how are you... I guess I'm just amazed at how you're navigating being on a jet ski by yourself while then also taking these incredible shots.
Yeah. So kind of as the waves approaching, the swell lines approaching, I feel like I've been down there enough times now to kind of semi-predict what a wave's going to do. But as it's approaching, I'll kind of position the jet ski into where I want to be at to capture that moment, and then I kind of put the jet ski in reverse, take my hands off the handlebars, and then pick up the camera. I've got the Aquatech rain shield on my camera now, so there's two little pockets you kind of have to fit your hands into. So got to kind of get it all set up, ready to go, take your hands off the wheel, and then hopefully the jet ski just stays in the right spot, and then put the camera up to your face and keep shooting while kind of also watching what's happening in the channel, because some waves do break through the channel, or the shock wave that comes off the wave comes kind of like horizontally out at you, and it definitely has flipped jet skis in the past. So you just got to kind of keep your wits about you a little bit, but that's what makes it so fun, you know. If it wasn't dangerous, it wouldn't be anywhere near as fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how does it impact you? But you obviously answered that as well. Wow. Very brave and exciting at the same time. So what's the fascination with waves in particular?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pin down, but it's definitely a fascination with these kind of deep water slabs, and it's so hard to put it into words what the water does down there. Like when you see how much water can be thrown, like how far it's throwing, like probably hundreds of, or even thousands of tons of water, and just when you have that volume, the colour shifts change dramatically from what you see in like a standard small wave. So the colour of the water is just these electric neon blues, and just the sound of it all, and it's just such a unique thing. And when you've got that much power, you know, the wave can go in the most crazy shapes and sizes, and every single wave's different. So it's you just got to try and capture as much as you can. And then it's after reviewing the photos back home, you kind of, you just spin out because it's like it all happens so fast. It's almost too fast for you to register what's going on down there.
Mm. That's awesome. I think this is like one of the things on my bucket list because I love the ocean and I love waves. And I agree with you that you cannot put into words like that feeling of watching them, you know. And I guess that's an experience I would love to have at some point in time, just to a wave that size, see it in real life. Because I think even through photography, while, you know, especially when you see a surfer on a wave and you can kind of then see what that wave really looks like, but to see it in person, I imagine it would just be a completely different experience.
Yeah, and it's over so fast down there. Like the right's 5 to 7 second wave on its longest point. So, And it's weird, eh? Like when you're out there, you're kind of looking at it and you're like, oh, it's big, but I don't know how big it really is. And then you get home and look at the photos and you're like, well, yeah, that was huge.
Yeah. So how do you know? Obviously, you know, you've had experience now photographing for a while. How do you know in yourself when it's the right moment, or are you just shooting and kind of hoping that within that selection that there'll be a good shot?
Yeah, that's the thing with the waves. It's like it's so unpredictable down there that you can have a tiny little swell line come in and that wave might just throw them the most perfect lip, or the light will catch it in the most perfect way. So you kind of do have to shoot everything. And then when you get home, just reviewing your shots. And like lately I've been going back through my catalogs and just picking out shots that I wouldn't have thought would look good. But then when you edit them up, they look amazing. So it's a real combination of capturing as much as you can, but then also knowing what you can do with that photo in post-production, because I feel like that's where there's so much potential for anything, you know.
Mm. So is that another skill that you had to teach yourself along the way, or was that something that you kind of already knew how to do?
No, definitely had to learn that one. It's a deep rabbit hole, that one. It's something I've really kind of put a lot of time and energy into in the last kind of year and a half. I feel like, you know, anyone can take a good photo these days, and I feel like if you know how to use software or edit properly, then your kind of potential as to what is a keep or usable photo increases just so dramatically. And I've just really been loving that process of sitting down and just putting time aside and then spending time seeing what's possible with a shot.
Mm. Would you say that this is going to be a really tough question, or maybe I have a feeling what you may answer, but I'll ask you anyway. Yeah. Do you appreciate being out there and taking the shots, or do you find more joy out of sitting there later on and seeing what you've shot and editing the images?
I feel like they're two completely different experiences for me personally, because I love the whole process of the shooting thing. You know, it's not just shooting. You know, the night before we sleep in the car park and you can just hear these big swell lines rolling through. It's like thunder all night, and you kind of just got that anticipation, and then you kind of get on the jet ski and head out into the ocean, and you're just doing this big ocean crossing, and there's just giant swell lines everywhere, and it's just such a cool environment to be in. And then catching up with all the friends you see on just these swell runs and having a good time, and then that's kind of that experience for me. And then when I get home, I love editing. Like that's kind of where the second part of it happens. And I just love sitting in my office and hours and hours on end, just, you know, edit a photo. And if you don't like it, you can just discard it and start again. There's no pressure. It's just, that's where the creative process starts. And I feel like that's where I enjoy it a lot.
How would you describe the experience for you? Like, how does it make you feel when you're shooting?
Yeah, it's just that kind of like rawness of being in that moment. Like there's so much going on around you, and you just like your focus is so pinpointed on everything that's happening. But at the same time, I find it really relaxing. Last year we went out in one of the biggest swells that kind of came through last year, and it was, you know, 8.5 meters on the buoy with 3.8 metres of sea on top of it and 30 knot winds, and it was just a crazy storm. Mm. And that was pretty electric going out and that, and it's just, you just have to be so in tune with what's going on around you, but at the same time not fight it and just relax into it. And yeah, a bit of a juxtaposition there, but it's awesome.
Yeah, sounds amazing. And is there any other particular wave that you'd love to shoot somewhere around the world?
Yeah, I think Chopu and Tahiti would be amazing to shoot on a really big day, but most of the stuff that I want to do is kind of here in WA. I love the right just for what it offers, and definitely going to shoot Cyclops, and there's some other waves around that are good, but also just going exploring. And, you know, another wicked thing I love doing is just going and shooting kind of shoreys and just backlit at sunset. And, you know, everything's got a great thing to offer. It's just if you spend the time to just, you know, sink into it and see what's there.
Mm, awesome. And so if people are interested in finding out more about your photography, and because you sell your prints as well, so they can come check out what you've got on Instagram. Is that a good place to start, and then maybe go to your website?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Instagram's a pretty good platform these days just to get a broad picture of what someone does, and keen to chat with anyone about anything. You know, I think it's great, not just for buying prints or anything like that. I've met so many good people on Instagram and collaborating with people and just having good conversations with people that reach out and just want to talk about photography, or it's not just a business for me, it's something I'm passionate about and I love helping people.
Mm, that's awesome. It's how we connected.
Yes.
Actually thinking about that. The other day I was like, I was sitting on my lounge on, I don't know, a weeknight, and I was just, I think I was clicking through different wave photos, you know how they pop up and things, and then that's how I came across yours. And even before I spoke to you, even before we had our discussion, I had this feeling, I was like, oh, like aside from that, like I absolutely loved your photography. And then I was like, oh, I feel like I might interview this guy, and I'm quite in tune with that, like often the feeling comes along, you know. And it's just, and then when I step back, I find it so fascinating how life kind of introduces people into your life.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how the universe works like that. And, you know, if you are in tune with it, you can see these little things that happen. And I spin out sometimes about the people I've met on Instagram. Just, you know, it's not a business lead, it's a personal relationship that you develop with these people. And there's just so many cool crew out there that reach out and they just want to have a chat about art or photography, or they want to do a painting of a wave, or, you know, it's just awesome that there is that like-minded community out there that just want to help each other and, you know, have a good chat. It's awesome.
Mm, yeah, it is very, very cool. We live in a pretty exciting time. Now, before we finish up the interview, I've got a few signature questions that I ask everybody. So yeah. My first question is sunset or sunrise and why?
Oh, I'd say that's an easy one for me. I'd probably have to be sunset, mainly because I'm pretty terrible at getting up early. But yeah, I think on the west coast of Australia, sunset is where we get backlit lighting happening. So yeah, it turns out pretty amazing in photography, and it's just an awesome time, you know. It's such a dynamic shift in the sky that goes on.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, because I just love the colours at that particular time. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Okay, if you could attempt a different career, what would you like to attempt?
I don't know. I've often thought about that. I've kind of reinvented my career a few times already, but something that's always fascinated me was psychology. I think just human behaviour has always been a pretty strong fascination of mine, and I think that would have been a pretty interesting thing to experience.
Yeah,
either that or videography.
Yeah, that one's not too far off what you're doing now. You never know.
No, I've got some plans this year, so keep an eye out.
Everybody stay tuned.
Yep.
All right, so my final question for you is, what does your best look like to you?
Changes every day. You know, that's the awesome thing about the editing process. It's I like one thing one day and then hate it the next day, but it's a never-ending process. I look back at my editing skills 6 months ago and I just think, no, you didn't know anything. And then I look at them yesterday and I'm still learning every day, and I think it's just that being addicted to that learning process. And there's no such thing as best when you take that mindset. It's just an ever-evolving process.
Ah, you got a great mindset. I like it. Very inspiring. All right. Well, that wraps up our interview for today, but thank you so much for chatting with me. It's been a real pleasure.
That's been awesome, Monica, and really love what you're doing. It's need more people out there kind of spreading the word about these creative minds and stuff like that. It's definitely a great thing you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Appreciated. Awesome. Well, everyone listening, you can find all the links to Ren and his photography in the show notes, and you can just shoot him a message and he's very quick to respond. So hit him up for a chat.
Cheers, Monica.